Hi guys, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to another episode of the Never Fully Understood podcast. I am your host, Fatima Garba. It's so good to be back to your speakers and your ears. I hope you guys had an amazing week. For those of you that sent hugs to me, thank you so much. I feel so much better. I had a very nice week. And I convocated this week, by the way. I finished my master's and I don't know, you know what I told my classmates? I said, you know what, maybe I would do another master's, but let me go back to Abuja. When I'm back to Abuja and I sit down with myself for like 2 weeks and I still feel like I want to do another master's, then I'll go ahead and do it. But for now, I think I'm just going through the high of, oh, okay, I just finished master's. Like, I just finished my first master's. And who knows, maybe I would want to do it and also my PhD. Anyway, that's the gist of how my week went. I hope you guys had an amazing week also. Yeah, so, today's episode is with Hannah. So, Hannah, I met Hannah at Chai with Sun Unravel. Yes. And that's why I tell you guys, but if you can go for Chai, because you're going to meet really, really, like, high quality people there, like 100%. Even if you're not going to learn anything there, but you would meet, like, high quality people there. So I met Hannah. I was drawn to the way she, on the two occasions that I met her, like on the two chais that I met her, I was really drawn to the way she spoke. Like, she just sounded so smart. And I was like, oh my God, I need to get this person on my podcast. So I spoke to her and she agreed. If you were present for the clubhouse meetup that we had, she was also part of our moderators. And if you've listened to her speak, you know that she speaks well. Anyway, in this episode, we speak on self-love, her self-love journey. We spoke on body image, insecurities, and what it's really like being a big girl. So this is a very, very different perspective. Hannah's perspective is very, very different, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. Please make sure you follow us on any of the platforms that you listen to this from, whether it is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Also, please follow our show and give us 5 stars. Also, Hannah also recommended some self-love books. So if you're listening to this episode, you can go to the notes of this episode and yeah, they'll all be listed down there. Thank you guys. Enjoy. So I met Hannah at Chai. It's so crazy because like you're the second person from Chai that I am interviewing for that is co-hosting with me this season. So and we're just going to, you know, get into the whole thing. So can you just give us a backstory of your childhood and like what it was like, you know, just being the big girl?
Okay, so mine is quite interesting. It's very different. So I grew up in a bicultural, binational home. My dad is from Kano State and my mom is Trinidadian, so from South America, the Caribbean. I was born and raised in Kano, so it was very much, we were in the north, but also not your average or typical northerners. It was a very diverse situation. I was very in tune with my feelings. I could express myself. I was allowed to express myself from a very young age. It was expected. We were trained that way. If you're feeling some way about something, talk about it. And I think it didn't dawn on me until I was in secondary school that I was different to people, which I think is a good and bad thing. It was a really good thing because it means I was not made to feel different. I was just a bit bigger. I had sisters. I have 3 sisters. So all of them were skinny. All of them were small in size. But I always carried the crowd. So it was never like, oh, I was bullied. Or it was never that I was made to feel different or separate. And then in secondary school, it just dawned on me like, okay, you're not everybody's size. You're not everybody's everything. And I think that was when I kind of started thinking about dieting, thinking about ways to lose weight. And I think at that point we were all in a situation where our role models on in Hollywood or whatnot were all skinny for white girls. So we were all in the Hannah Montana age and we were like, okay, this is what we want to look like, this is what is expected. And I got a lot of help from family in the sense that, okay, I wanted to be skinny, I wanted to be like everybody. And they tried to help. I was enrolled in gym. I think that was when Aficent first opened in Kano. And I was going to Aficent. I had a personal trainer. When my friends would be like going to have social activities, I'll be hitting the gym. And then I was just like, okay, you know what? It didn't stop my personality from coming out. It didn't stop anything. So it just, I just transitioned into something else. Like, I don't think I was ever that confident about it. It's not like I accepted, okay, I'm the big girl and that's it. I just transitioned. I just kept going through school, went to university abroad. The identity was that I was the big girl. And nobody put that on me. I did it myself. Because it was like I had to fit into that category as the bigger girl. It's not everything you would do. When people are hiking and whatnot, there were always activities I would separate myself from because I was just like, oh, okay, I don't think I can do that. I was so bubbly. So I was the ringleader, the gang leader, the cheerful person, the head of the group, the person that would discuss anything. I was extremely charismatic. But it was not, I think I thought, okay, if you don't look like everybody else, you have to come with something. You have to be extra special. So that was my way of thinking. This was my way of being special by being extra charismatic. And my dad always used to tell me at a young age, like, you have a presence. When you enter a room, you have a presence. So turn it into a good thing. And I think that's just how I grew up. I didn't deep it that much. I went with the flow and I was like, okay, this is me. And that's about it. And I never lacked friends or anything. I was always in the middle of things. So I never was made to feel, I was never bullied. I was never made to feel less than because of a big body. So really, that was a good experience if I look back at it now.
Earlier on when we're speaking, I just like how this is like another side of the story, because it's like every other big girl has the story that, oh my God, I was bullied. Oh, I'm not trying to undermine it or anything, but it's just nice to see that there's like, okay, another side of the story, and you're being true and you're being real about it. Like, oh, okay, I wasn't always bullied. Oh yes, I have always been the big girl, but I owned it. And yeah, this is how your own experience has been. So like, but like when you were like growing up, and then maybe like, when I say growing up, it doesn't necessarily mean your childhood, because obviously, like, this journey, you've been on this journey for a while, right? So, like, how did you realize that, oh my God, I'm overcompensating? It's like, I'm not confident in my body, and then I just feel like I have to be good in every other aspect so that maybe people don't notice or people don't see what I see.
I think I was perhaps in my later years of university. I was finishing. I was always like, okay, this is the rule. You finish university, you do NYSC, go back for your master's, do a PhD, get that great job and all of that. And then I kind of just realized, okay, I struggled with my identity. So already that was kind of boiling up from being in the North, being raised a Northerner, and then not having a Nigerian mom. So that really kind of made me a bit, you know, confused with my identity. And then I took up the role and identity of the big girl. And then the big girl now started thinking, okay, besides being that big girl, who else is Hannah? What does Hannah like? What does Hannah want to do and things like that? So I think I realized much later, which is the sad part of it, and I think it's still a constant struggle, that I don't have to put that much in. I had the fear of being liked, so I always wanted to enter spaces and get on with people, because I really just, I'm a people person. I studied and went into human resources because I've been a people person, and I think that was why I studied what I studied and why I had to put up this facade, like Hannah has to be liked, so Hannah has to come with her A-game, the personality, the bubbleness and whatnot. And then it dawned on me that it's a bit exhausting. This is trying way too hard. Like, let me see what it means to just be me. It's either you accept me as I am, or, I mean, it just means it's not going to work if you don't. And this is friendships, relationships. Family has always been there. So I never had a struggle with family. They were always there to reiterate, okay, this is not very you, is it? I mean, you're trying something new and we would support you, but it isn't really you. But we were never pushed. It was just you realize it. So I think that wanting to people please, I think I'm still a people pleaser, but it's reducing now because I understand my psyche a lot more. So I wanted to be on everybody's good side. So I wanted to be the jolly person. Nobody knew what was happening with me. Nobody knew sort of what I was going through or my struggles were. So I was like, you know what? This is a bit too exhausting. It's easier to just be who you are. And then the identity crisis hit. So who is Hannah? That was when it all started, like, okay, now we have to start another journey. We've dropped the overcompensating, the, okay, I want people to like me, or okay, I want to be relatable. I think the relatable was the thing. If you meet me in a group, this person would say, oh, they related with me based on this. The second person related with me based on something else. So it was like there was never one true story, because it means that my true self never came out. And that was when it kind of hit, like, okay, we're dropping the overcompensating. So this was ending secondary school, beginning university. And when you school abroad, you are very much in tune with your feelings, because it's an independent and self-sufficient sort of society. You have to figure yourself out. It's a very individualistic society. So you have to really figure yourself out at a very early stage. So I think I was privileged in that regard, because it hit me at once that you have to drop all of this and figure out who Hannah was. So yeah, I'd definitely say it was at that stage.
When did you realize that, oh my God, it's time for me to love Hannah? It's time for me not to care, like, what other people think of Hannah. Like, regardless of what people think of Hannah, I love her. So when did you decide that, okay, I'm getting on this journey?
I think this was COVID. I think people have several aha moments. My aha moment was COVID. It was ending 2019, beginning 2020. I was doing my master's in the Netherlands, and then the whole country, in fact, the whole world went into lockdown. I was on lockdown for like 3 months. I was in my studio apartment and I was focusing on my thesis. I was even applying. I was like, okay, I'm going to do my PhD right after. I was pretty young. So it was like, okay, the career is going well. We have all the certificates, all the degrees. So alhamdulillah for that. But it just kind of was like, okay, I've never been left with my thoughts, with the real me. And then I was like, okay, lockdown was all good and nice. And then I ran a food blog. So I was always cooking. I was always experimenting. I was always trying out new things. But then there was no movement. So at one point, I added a lot of weight. I think my highest notable weight, which I try never to ever say, was 163 kilos. But I'm a tall girl, so it was never seen. And I've always been big. So people will be like, oh, you've just added a little weight. But then I think I went for a checkup, and then it was like 163 kilos. I was like, no, we can't continue doing this, you know. We can't always, the narrative can't always be the big girl, because that was my identity. And I felt my identity was attached to my weight. So no matter how self-confident or how much you love and appreciate your body, there's also a health risk. So that was when I realized, okay, this is not the healthiest way. You're getting into your late 20s. You're understanding the health aspects of it. And there's no parents to insist you go on that diet. This is about you. And that's just when I decided. I give myself two options. I was like, Hannah, it's either you lose the weight and you walk the talk, you talk the walk, or you continue to sort of float around and insist that you're that confident person. And I couldn't accept confidence in the body I could not own. So I had gotten bigger and I could not own that body. And then I just started the journey. And this time it was different. It was not the crash diet. It was not the keto. It was not the Cambridge diet. It was not the gymming. It was just, okay, I was intermittent fasting. I was in a calorie deficit and I just went on walks. So the lockdown was kind of lifted. I moved to Vienna. I started just walking 1 hour, 2 hours a day. Watched what I was eating. I went off of social media for about a year and a half. People kept reaching out on WhatsApp. That was the only thing I had, WhatsApp and emails. What's going on? My immediate friends kind of knew that I was just taking a social media hiatus. I was trying to figure things out and I needed that. So I graduated from my master's. I was like, okay, well, I'm not doing this PhD now. Let's figure who Hannah is and what Hannah wants. And then I think 18 months or so, a year and a half, I lost about 53 to 50 kilos. Oh my God, that was revolutionary. It was really an eye opener. That was when my identity started to kick in. I began to embrace who I was. I started finding out what I liked. And then all of a sudden, I was like, okay, maybe these studies are not, you know, academia is not really for me. Both my parents have PhDs. So I was just like, okay, that's the line of work we're all going into. You know, they met in the Netherlands. So I was like, I got a scholarship. I went to the Netherlands as well. So I was like, okay, maybe that's kind of the lifestyle we're all going into. It's academia. And then I started realizing I'm into a lot of things. I'm into, you know, Hannah. I'm finding out who Hannah is, my true identity. It started breaking down. It was so difficult because what I thought I liked, I didn't like it anymore. And then I had to drop it because I found out I was not being true to myself. So that was, I think that was my real aha moment, COVID. So that was such a terrible period. But for me, that was the awakening period of who Hannah really is, that COVID period. So it was definitely that.
Sometimes you think you know yourself, but then you don't know anything. And then when you now realize that you don't know yourself, it's really heartbreaking. Because, like, and you know what's bad? For me, personally, I think I have always been someone that thought I knew what I wanted. And everyone around me, like, when I started struggling, everyone around me was like, oh, but I always thought you knew what you wanted. And I'm just looking at them like, I thought so too. I thought so too. And I think even when it comes to this identity crisis, like, people that come from separate backgrounds, like, it's also like okay for you, yours is even, should I say, worse, because, you know, it's like different countries. My parents are both Nigerians, but my dad is from Niger State. He's from, and my mom is from Adamawa. But then my mom's side of the family is like Christians, do you understand? And then my dad's side, but so before I went to secondary school, I thought I was very normal. I didn't know there was, it's not normal, do you understand? So, like, just even in secondary school, I'm not even really sure I had my own identity. I think it's just now that I'm, like, maybe in uni and everything, just, you know, figuring things out, like, oh, I'm not like every other person. And, you know, it helps when your siblings are also facing the same thing, because it's like, you all get it. like you all get it. It's like, okay, you guys are not really, like, because it's like what you said in Shy Daddy, I was just laughing. I was like, subhanallah, because it's the same thing. Like, you're too, like, I'm too northern and maybe Muslim-ish for my, like, Christian side of the family. And then, and then for my Muslim side of the family, it's like, oh, you're not, like, Muslim enough, you get now. So it's like, you now have to be right in the middle, and you know, start to figure out, okay, then who are you? Like, what works for you? Honestly, now I'm at a point in my life that I'm still figuring. But it can be very heartbreaking, oh, when you think you know, but you don't.
But that's normal. But that's completely normal. And that's what I've had to tell myself. Oh, my God, it is heartbreaking. It is, I don't think we're supposed to have it all figured out, you know. I think what makes it different is that you know that you're an evolving being. Like, in every aspect, whether you look at it scientifically, religiously, you just are better than the person you were yesterday. That's the goal. Because I used to think, I'm such a perfectionist. So I used to think in every aspect of my life, it had to be perfection. And then Nigeria happens to people, you know, and you realize that you cannot be a perfectionist, not only in Nigeria, but just in general. It's exhausting. Yeah. You just have to be as authentic as possible, Kingani.
Honestly, like, exactly. And anything that does not serve you, just drop it. I do you know, like, little things for me, like, okay, I know, like, even just something as simple as the skincare that I use, like, just being able to know what works for me and leaving what does not work for me. Like, I'm very good with that. I know, like, the scents that work for me. I just feel like, oh my God, the older I get, the more I'm learning about myself, and I just love it. Like, just being able to realize, okay, this is what I want and this is not what I want, is really, really.
But imagine you now telling yourself 10 years ago, like, chill, take a chill pill, like, you'll all be okay. You would have never listened. You had to live the experience. So it's crazy. That whole journey is something you have to go through. Some people learn through other people's mistakes. But I think most of us, and when I look at young people, so I get a lot of messages, oh, you're so confident, I would love to be like you. And I'm just like, girl, I'm still figuring it out as well. But thank you. Like, I get so many messages, you know, like, that on IG.
Kind of faking it till we make it.
You know what I mean? It's just like, we're all, Yeah. It's all a struggle, and you can tell somebody younger, you can tell your younger self or even younger siblings mm-hmm. that it will be okay, just be as authentic as possible, but nobody is going to listen. They all have to go through it. Yeah, but it still wouldn't stop putting it
time.
Like, we are still figuring it out. People way older mm-hmm. than us are still figuring it out. You're married with kids still figuring it out. But it's just because one step at like a time.
Even, yes, and even each season you're in your life, you change. So do you? You don't even really know yourself at the end of the day because you keep changing, you keep changing.
Yeah. But I think things have to remain constant. You have to have a goal. You have to know where it is you're trying to get to. You have to know what your brand is. So what you would like to embody, what you would like to be known for. I think those main things really help the process. And everything else is just, we go with the flow. But you have to know those three things. They're very important. So for me, that's how it really started.
So, how has, this whole journey affected your love life? Do you ever just, meet someone and then you just get carried away and you're, and you just take a pause on yourself and then you, after some time, you're like, oh, my God, I just was taking care of myself. And then now this whole thing has happened and I forgot. Has it ever affected, not even just that aspect. Has it affected your love life, in general?
Yes and no. So at the beginning, when I was more so a bigger person, I was super focused on career and academics. So I really wasn't open to, seeing people. I also it wasn't a priority for me. So the marriage thing, I didn't have that pressure. I didn't have that lust or that longing. I have to get married immediately. So I didn't really entertain that aspect. For me, it was that I had a career path. I wanted to meet those goals. I wanted to do a lot of self-improvement and whatnot. So I was always on that journey. And then when I started losing the weight and embracing who I was, the people that sort of were attracted and I attracted. So not attracted physically, but the people that were drawn to me were, sort of older people. So it worked out in the sense that I was so confident in who I was and I knew exactly what I was attracting and bringing in, but it was not what I wanted. So many times I'll get lost in the process. I'll get sort of carried away, forgetting that the focus of all of this is me. I'm still not where I want to be. You have to be the best version of yourself or even on the journey to be that best version of you before you can give anybody anything. So for me, it was just that, okay, there's so many things people would say would trigger me. And I was like, okay, you have to go back. There are things that you've not completely sorted out, things you've not completely healed from. And then as I was in relationships, sometimes I will add some weight. I think recently, about last year, I added about 10 pounds. That's about 4.5 kilos. And then my identity started fluctuating. So I think what happened was that I added weight, and not much, but it completely destabilized me. I started losing my self-confidence. I started sort of feeling a bit bad. And then I realized that I had attached my self-worth and my confidence to that number on the scale. And that was when I had to change everything completely. I went back to the drawing board. I was like, it's not the end of the world. The focus is to be healthy. I have fully embraced it. I never wanted to be skinny, in all honesty. I don't think I can be. I think my personality is that of a big girl. I embody everything that it has to do with it. So when I started adding a little weight, and this had nothing to do with relationships or people, all the people I had known, suitors and whatnot, they were all obsessed with how I carried my body because I could do that. I remember in secondary school, SS3, one of my teachers told me, this girl Sabi carried her body. I think that was the first time I heard that I could carry my weight, because I was literally like that all my life. So if I didn't know how to carry it, who else would carry it for me? I was never sloppy. I never dragged myself. I always did things. I could lift myself. I could sit down in weird positions. I was extremely flexible. I could run and I was running. So I was not, held back by the body. And then all of a sudden now I've added 5 kgs, 5 pounds.
here and there, and then I'm now questioning who Hannah is. I'm questioning my self-worth. I was like, okay, no, we're not about to do this. We're not going back to square one, because Hannah has come a long way. The other day I was listening to a podcast, Diaries of a CEO, and it was Jay Shetty on the podcast. He was the co-host, and he was talking about how self-worth comes from going through difficult experiences, that you grow to love yourself through that. And I was like, that 50 kilos that I lost, it was not beans. God knows it. So then, you know, and I'm like, and that is literally where it came from. I started reading books, self-love, self-care, and I got into self-care. I've always loved perfumes. I'm obsessed with scents. If I could do that as a job that pays me, Tararongwacha, Homura's scents, perfumes, I could smell something and tell you exactly what it is. And I just keep collecting. I've been collecting perfumes since I was 14, 15. So I started tapping into that self-care aspect. I was into skincare. I was into looking my best. And that just kind of started molding into who Hannah was. My identity started becoming that soft life person, and I was like, you know, it's what I like, but it's not the easiest thing and it's not the cheapest thing to do, you know. So I had to really sit down and talk to myself. I had to go back to the self-help books I was reading, and it was just, you can't tie your identity to that number on the scale. You can't forget everything you worked hard for just because you've added a few pounds. And that is what I had to tell myself. So I was like, you know what? All these suitors and this marriage and these people who are trying to be in a relationship with, just hold on a second. Let's pause. Like, I have to love myself to the max before I can let somebody love me. Because otherwise you will go into a relationship or a marriage looking for somebody to give you something you could not give yourself.
And honestly, that is where they would be disaster. Very draining for the other person.
Just, you understand?
Putting them in charge of that, it's a lot.
Oh yeah, it is. It's unfair to them, and it's certainly unfair to you. Because I just felt, okay, I want to be in a marriage or in a relationship where this person would give me everything I already am giving myself. So I'm not seeking, or I'm not wanting validation or wanting approval from anybody. I need to give that to myself. So I paused all of that. I went back and I did the work. Every single day I keep doing the work because it doesn't stop. So which brings me to what we were just talking about before you asked me this. You can never really know who you are. And you just go back to the drawing board. I'm always on this quest to change things. And it's a bit exhausting sometimes because I keep thinking, is it that I've not fully accepted? But I think what I've not accepted is that human beings are ever evolving and ever changing. As long as it's the journey to improvement and self-love, then that is what it is. I don't think there's anybody that can love me the way I love myself. Oh God. And it took time to get there. It really did take some time.
Okay, but like when you said you were attracting older guys and everything, I think there's so many type of like ladies that are like that, and some of them just feel like, oh my God, I don't like it. Like, why am I attracting older men? Do you think it's tied to your weight or the way you carry yourself? Because I don't think it's tied to your weight, because I've seen like skinny girls also like be in that type of position. So like, I don't know what is it that, you know, would attract these type of men? Like, is it something that maybe you're doing intentionally? I don't know. I'm just curious. I just want to know.
Mm. It was. I think it was the way I carried myself. Yeah. I was always a serious person. I get on so well with most of my friends' moms. Mm-hmm. And it's a crazy thing. Because I have an old spirit, and I always I grew up hearing my parents say that when I was really, really young and I had younger siblings that will always have misunderstandings, I always used to say, I think I was 10, 11, and I would say, I'm doing therapy for the family. Everybody should come. Tell me their problems. We'll sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been, that's literally how I was. Yeah, I thought I was so like an old therapist. Soul. Yeah, I was an old soul. Yeah. I was an old egg. So I was so sure of myself. I was confident in when I was growing up, you know, the fake it till you make it. And then I started embodying that confidence.
So I think the people I started attracting was because of how I carried myself. So these were, and I always knew what I wanted. I knew I needed a mature person, a mature man, somebody that was, you know, older than me by 5 years minimum, you know. And then I started attracting people that were, you know, grown in that sense, some of them even married, and I knew I couldn't do polygamy. So it was never in the question, but it kept reoccurring. Like, why am I attracting that? And also the way that I dress and look. So I would go out in my LaFayette's, and sometimes my dad would even say, Hannah, you look like you're already married. But I'm comfortable in those things. You know, I love things that are regal and flamboyant. I don't want to ever be caught unfresh. So I think the way I carried myself made people think that I was either married. Somebody told me, you look like you're married. A rich man has married you and just kept you and is just feeding you money. And I'm just like, that is the most offensive thing I've ever heard. Like, how do you tell somebody that? But I think it was the way I carried myself for sure. Because as you said, you do know people that are skinny and still attract that. And then when you're a bit bigger, it's also that this, without getting too much into it, you know, on a very sort of un-Islamic and unclean way, I think there's something that as a bigger girl that does it for older men, older African men especially. So that was literally what it was, a combination of both.
Oh my god. For okay, sure. So like tell us, like, you know, just the mental challenges you've had on this journey, because like we've just been speaking about, you know, the physical aspect about the whole thing, but like, has it, you know, ever affected your mental health in a way it's like, oh my god, can I do this? Yeah.
I think it did at every point. It made me doubt myself. So every decision I would make, I had a letter of self-doubt. I was always a sure person. And, you know, funny enough is that I try my best to remember. They said that there's this emotional thing that happens when you're trying to cancel out memories or things that were a bit traumatic. You don't really remember it. And I think up until I lost weight, I find it very hard remembering things. And I'm not a forgetful person. My dad always says I have the brain of an elephant or something like that, because bana mantua. But for some, that's what I've been reading apparently. So I don't really remember up until that point where I started losing weight. And that for me was like, okay, it seems like that's when the real Hannah started coming in. Maybe there was an imposter there. I started with imposter syndrome. So when I started losing weight, I still used to buy clothes that were 3-4 sizes bigger than me, because I hadn't processed that I had lost that much weight and my personality had changed. My shoe size was different. My ring sizes were different. My hands got smaller. My shoe sizes dropped by 2 sizes. I did not know you could lose weight on your feet. Oh God, I didn't. Can. Yes, you can. And my wristwatch stopped fitting me. I was wearing an Apple Watch, and then, you know, that was my like little milestone. I would keep going up and up and up on the buttons, and I was like, yo, for real, this is happening. I even abandoned the skill, so my milestones were that, and it made me feel so accomplished. And I kept tying accomplishment and dissatisfaction to weight loss, and I think that was where the mental struggle was, because I was like, I can't keep doing this. I was fine when I was the big girl, when I still had that weight on. Now it's almost like you're on a high. You keep losing it. And I didn't want it to become unhealthy. Where people kept saying, yeah, Isahaka, like, you need to stop losing the weight now. Because a lady in Kano actually asked me, was I sick? I think it was a family member. And she asked me, like, am I sick? Is something wrong? I was just like, no, I'm just trying to lose weight here. And it was like, you complain when people are big. Then when they're losing weight, you also complain. So you can't win. And that was for me so indicative of the fact that, Hannah, you just have to pick you. Because if you are doing this for people to say this and that, it's not going to work, because you can never satisfy Dan Adam. It's not possible. You can't satisfy human beings. So I think the mental struggle was at every point. It was so challenging getting to that point where I was like, I have to lose the weight. Then another challenge when I started losing the weight is that my identity is now changing. I'm no longer the big girl. What is my identity now? So that became a struggle.
then I fully embraced the feminine side of me and the big girl, the confident big girl, the confident big girl losing weight, the confident person that would walk into a room and take charge. That was me, or has always been, even after the weight loss. And then I gained a few pounds and I started doubting myself. I was questioning my self-worth. I was questioning my every move, my every decision. And then I was like, okay, no, there's something happening. I still don't understand it. And this happened within 2 years, you know, and more. This is now the third or fourth year in this journey. Okay, we're in 2023. So this is like, yeah, 3.5 years. And it's just, it's every day. Like, you see somebody and you think that everything is going on perfectly, but there are a lot of silent struggles people have. And I think that's why, you know, when you messaged me and we spoke in the second chai about having, talking on this podcast, I was like, so many people, like, girl, you don't know what you're doing. Some of these topics you're talking about, people need it. People need it.
Like, Hannah, you don't understand. Like, as I'm even seated here and I'm listening to you, I'm like, subhanallah, I've really never thought about it. Because it's like, you have always been, even if it's not the big girl, you've always been the fat girl. And then now you're not. So what are you? So it's really, so it's not just that, like, not even you. I'm just talking about, like, not even you, like, other people. Like, imagine someone just going from being really fat, being a bully, for example, and then you now lose so much weight and you really don't know who you are anymore. So it's not just losing the weight, like, there's a lot of mental work that goes with it. Oh my God.
And I'm just like, it's like, I really
think people need these discussions. And the fact that you're touching base on it, like, I really, really appreciate this. This is like a side note. Like, this is so good, Fatima, what you're doing. Because I keep getting DMs, like, you're so confident, you're so this, you're so that. And then I look at the girl saying that.
Thank you.
And girl, they're not big girls. They're not fat girls. They are beautiful. And that is what I need them to know, that you are beautiful, whatever body it is that you occupy. You deserve to occupy and take up space. And it's so bad because our part of the world, it is your immediate family that will make you feel so bad about how you look. Then it is presenting yourself to that man, or they don't like the big girl. And it is so wrong. It's like, it has changed from a couple years ago, far. It's even better now. But people are still struggling. Being overweight and being the big girl, it is not the end of the world.
Yeah.
It is not attached to your self-worth. It is not attached to anything that will give you validation. It is strict, for me, it is strictly a health issue. If it poses a threat to your health, that is when it becomes a problem. But having a little extra flabs, girl, I love my stomach. Like, when I started losing the weight and then I started having flabby, girl, ugh.
Like, okay, like, for me, I actually added weight COVID, like, after COVID. Right. That's when I started adding weight. That's the first time I ever added weight in my life.
Right.
And I just hear people pass comments like, hi, can you get my fat? Like, oh my God, is this your stomach now? Oh my God. It's like, it just... I'm not the person that they've always known.
Yeah.
And they will just pass so many comments. And I also have a younger sister that is kind of big. And she really struggles with people just telling her. Maybe the first time they see her, you'll be like,
no.
Yeah, I can't jiki.
No, people can't.
That's how some people will greet you.
We need to
So even if you're even confident in yourself, there's people that will just make you feel so bad. Like, oh my God, oh, you didn't know it was a problem. But like, oh, now so it's a problem.
And you know the funny thing.
And you were even, sorry, can you please speak on what you said? You said you read something about, like, African women before and so, how, you know, so just being big
exactly.
Was it.
Exactly. So when I started embracing the bigger girl and the in my cultural, I'm very traditional. I love me some culture. I love me anything Garagajia. Then I started reading books.
Oh, yeah,
we can
see it on your Instagram also.
I started reading books, girl. I started reading books about African and Arab women in prehistoric Arabia, you know, in early Muslim culture and societies. And the value that is attached to a bigger woman, a voluptuous woman. And on every ground, on the way she steps, the way she carries herself, the way, you know, and not even in a sexual way. I'm not talking, you know, what is attractive sexually. But just, there was something so magnificent about people like that. And it was what was cherished before. And there was a particular book, I won't mention the name, but there was a part where it was discussed that it was through Westernization that the ideology of being skinny and thinner was sort of, you know, wanted and needed. But that was never Africa. That was never how, you know, from a religious point of view and from a cultural point of view, it was never who we were. I mean, people come in all shapes and sizes, but bigger women were appreciated and they were never looked down on because you were bigger. So when I tapped into that, I was like, so even my ancestors were into big girls and were, you know, loving them some big girls. It is now in 2020 that I'm now feeling a bit bad about myself because I've got a little extra pounds. It's not going to work. Like, at all, it cannot work.
Yeah.
And these are, so I think when you were saying something about the comments, I think it took me a while to realize that people, Nigerians, Northerners, will talk. Everybody will talk. People just make sly comments. Sometimes they don't even say it in, you know, with the hopes to make you feel bad or to bring you down. Yeah. They don't even understand their feelings that way. It's just everybody has to talk. They can't control it. I know a lot of people that are really skinny that struggle with it. And we don't think that people that are skinny struggle with that self-image. We only think it's the big person. And it goes both ways. See, Arin Kachiyom Mutani, you don't eat. Bakiaching Abinchu, you're too skinny. You, how would you bear children?
I struggled with that when I was very skinny also. God, it was so crazy. And I was eating.
Can you imagine? People's metabolisms are just built differently. And from a health perspective, like, people have PCOS. People cannot lose weight easily. People struggle with a lot of health conditions, you know, that does not allow them to lose weight. It's not just you're big, so you're lazy, so you eat and you hide and you do this. That is not it. And on the other side, when you're being skinny, and this is what I always try to advocate for, it's both sides. So the being a bigger person and being the skinniest person in the room, people get bullied for both, and I don't think that's right. But for me, the most important thing is that identity. Once you're so sure of yourself, you would have hiccups, as with anybody in any journey. But I think we also need to be kinder to one another. You see somebody adding weight, if they open up to you or they're facing health challenges and whatnot, you can listen, but you have no right to comment on somebody's body, the way they look. If you're not going to give somebody a nice comment, shut the hell up. Don't say anything.
And you know, even when it comes to men, but I feel like it's just like the world and the mentality and everything that just made them think that, oh, this type of like skinny women are it. At the end of the day, is it really what you want? Because, and it's so funny, what annoys me the most is when you see guys that actually like skinny women getting married to women that are, let's say she's not really big, but you know that obviously when she has her kids, she's going to increase. And then you marry this person and you just begin to body shame and make them feel like crap. Like, if you know you want a skinny woman, then get married to a skinny woman. I just hate.
Exactly.
Like, I just, in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, if you meet somebody and you're already thinking about the things that you want to change about them, they are not for you.
No. I think I even saw a thread on Twitter about you can't do that. Like, you have, you know what you want already. You now get into something with somebody and you want to mold them into what you want. That is so wrong. That is so bad for you. It's a toxic thing and it's a cycle that keeps going on and on. I think this skinny big thing, it's a personal preference when it comes to partnerships.
Yeah.
As a woman, you can have your preference that you want a chunky guy or you want a really skinny guy. And a guy can also say he wants a really chunky girl, he wants a, you know, a skinny girl. That's all okay. That's personal preference. But where it goes wrong is literally what you just said. Knowing what your preference is and then going for somebody that is not that way. If that is the circumstances of life and that is exactly what has happened, you have to be okay with it. And yes, through childbirth, people would add weight. And to body shame a woman, like, do you know what she has done? Like, she picked you and brought your offspring into this world.
Like,
on every way you look at it, it is the most remarkable thing. They say when a woman is pregnant and about to give birth, she literally has one leg in the grave and one leg on earth. Now, you want to now body shame somebody for bringing your child into the world because she's gained some extra pounds? Like, we thought this was like a first world problem. Extra pounds
from, like,
like,
as if she does this, this a, from doing something easy.
So it's really, I think we really need a lot of awareness on it. And that's
whenever I try to introduce the cause, I'm just like, I'm an advocate for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, not everybody as in human body.
Yeah.
Human like, beings, but everybody, mm-hmm. every shape.
Yeah.
You deserve to take up space if it's a small space. Have you seen skinny people that have the loudest presence in the world?
Well,
they walk into a room and they are seen and heard. And you would meet a big person that bursts to the presence because they struggle with that confidence. They walk in and they want to be small. Like, don't do that, regardless of the size you're in.
Yeah.
You have to own it. It is a journey. It is not an easy one. But if you struggle, some people don't mind. They don't mind just existing. And that's okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everybody's calling to be, you know, I want to be the girl that is the big and the flamboyant one. It's not everybody's calling. But mm-hmm. if that is what you struggle with, I think it's really important to do the work internally. So many people have been on yo-yo diets. This is it. This is it. And then family would body. Do you know what it means for family to body shame you? That is like that's the worst. You that is the worst thing. That is the worst thing to have ever happened to any human being. Like your immediate family, your safe space doesn't even feel safe at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there are really two things. People should be extremely mindful with the comments they throw out to people. It takes nothing to give a compliment. Absolutely nothing. Compliment somebody. But if you have nothing, my mom always used to say, if you have nothing good to say, shut your trap. Like literally keep quiet. Do not say anything at all. Like, if you have nothing good to utter, do not say anything at all. Why? And we always have to think, how would this comment be taken? You know what I mean? How would they process this? You might not know somebody's story. So don't go around giving people unsolicited opinions on what you deem right, not knowing somebody else's struggle. But if you are a big girl, take space and don't be afraid. The world is changing. Your self-worth and your dignity, your love for yourself is not attached to a scale. It is not attached to a number. If it bothers you, change it. If it doesn't bother you and it has no health risks, embrace it. Because what else can you do? It's literally, you have two options. You literally have two options.
Since you cannot run away from your body, you might as well own it.
Embrace it. Own it. And there's something that happens when you embrace who you are and the body that you are in. Once you accept it, wallahi al-azim, everybody begins to accept it.
Yeah. I think that's like the last thing they might even notice about you.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you don't see it as a weakness, nobody can use it as a weakness. That, oh, you're fat, you're this. And so, I'm fat is not an insult. It's, yes, I have fat. Everybody does. Mine is just extra. But if I don't take it as an insult.
Musician, that's something about her that she's like, oh my God, yes, I'm fat and I know it. Oh,
Lizzo, right?
Lizzo, yeah.
Yes. Oh, girl.
She's so Lizzo confident in her body.
In every way.
Exactly. So,
it's like a little wobble here and there. It might not be the norm. But, I mean, if everybody was the same, the world would be so boring. I mean, the world would crash if everybody was the same size, thought the same way, liked the same things. We're meant to be different. So own it and nobody can use it against you. That's what I've learned this the hard way.
Yeah.
Because before, when you are a bit, you know, insecure about your weight and you get into a fight with somebody, that's the first thing they will pick on. My sisters, when we were really young, we used to do that. So my sisters would say, oh, you big this, you big that. And I'll be so hurt. This was like my early years, 10, 12 to 12. And then at a point, I was like, and so, yes, I'm big. I even used to tell them, think about something else. You can't just curse me with the first
every
thing
day.
You say. Like, be creative. Well, now I used to turn back at them and say, be creative. What else? Kingani? So when you begin to embrace it, nobody can use it against you. It's literally who you are. It's even an offense to God to say that you have a problem with the way that you are. Like, stop it. So it's a journey. Yeah. It's a journey. It's hard, but it's well worth it, I think.
Yeah, so like lastly, can we just like speak on how you're able to channel your female energy? You know, like how has that been able to make you more confident and, you know, positive?
Okay, so there's this knowledge I started tapping into to understand masculine and feminine energy. And from a relationship point of view, it takes a certain type of man to bring out your feminine energy. So a man you feel safe, you know, with. And I think even before I even came to relationships, my energy has always been masculine. So I was always the tough guy. I was always I'm doing. I would never ask for help. I always felt like I needed to take care of people. I still have that energy because it's who I am. But I think when I started discovering my identity, the things that I liked, which were all very feminine, I was bound to sort of recline into my feminine energy. All the things that I'm obsessed with all have to do with a woman being a woman,
you know, machi.
Kingani. Yeah. So you can't come around with your masculine energy around those things. You can't, it's not even possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at a point, I kept attaching it to relationships. Like, oh, I can't wait to meet a man that would be my this so that I can be so feminine. And then I was like, wait, what? What man? Like, girl, it starts with you. So I started reclining. I started letting things just happen. Because before, I used to want to be in control. And feminine energy literally, it doesn't mean woman, female. It actually means, you know, allowing things, being a receiver. So you have to just let things. And I was a control freak. I still am. I always like to know exactly how things will work out. I always want to know every detail of it. And it's driven me crazy a few times, but I just let go. Then I started linking it to, you know, very religious things, tawakkul and sabr. Like, just have faith in God. It will all figure itself out, you know. And then that kind of allowed me to enter my feminine energy. Okay, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it happens, it happens. These are the things I'm channeling. These are the energies that I like. These are the energies I love. These are the energies I want around me. And then I just started going into it, from my steps to my talk to everything in between. In fact, some of them, I didn't even unlock it until I was reading more. And I was like, oh, I already did this automatically. I didn't even know this was what I was doing. But then when I read the books, it was like, oh yeah, this is your feminine energy you're tapping into. So that was literally it. I just let things go. And then my new identity and the things I started figuring out I really loved and enjoyed doing and enjoy thinking about were very much in that aura, you know, in that space. And then I am doing a 9-to-5. So it's, you are a boss at work and then you come back and you're in your feminine energy and you're in your self-care, self-love energy. You know, it's a hard balance. But who said you can't strike a balance? So I think that's what I'm still struggling to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liking nice things. And I think our part of the world, when you like these things, is that you're married, you know, or you're a housewife, or you're doing something, you know, that you're selling to Arunguta and whatnot. But I think you can like all of those things and still work on your career. And that's what I've figured out. I'm in my feminine energy, but I'm still working mentally on myself, working physically on myself, and doing all the work in between. So that's literally it. It's a hard balance, but yeah. Worth trying.
Oh my God. Everyone is trying. Okay, Hannah, please, can you also recommend some self-love and self-help books that I can, you know, just, you know, put it in the notes of this. You don't have to say it. You can maybe send it to me and then I'll put it in the notes of this episode so that if people want to, you know, read them, because they seem to have really, really played a huge role, you know, in your journey.
For me, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely send. I have a lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot. So I would definitely send more generic ones. And some of them are a bit more, you know, embracing yourself in a, I don't know if I can say this, but maybe you'll cut this out, in a very sexual way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some books that really touch base on that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to love yourself. And then when you do get married, it's something you would like to, I mean, if you don't have that confidence, how are you supposed to take that in the room? Like, it won't work. So that's kind of, there are some self-help books that focus on that.
Yeah.
And then there are just generic ones that are ridiculously good and it does the mental work. In this day and age that we live in, I feel everybody needs therapy. And the best thing you can do for yourself if you can't find a therapist or you can't afford therapy is to read.
Mm-hmm.
You have to read. And, like, the information is all there. Attend talks.
listen to podcasts. I mean, this alone, people might think that, you know, they don't know anyone going through this, but they're literally platforms for, I've met people that just knowing somebody else is going through the same thing is enough for them. 100%. Like, they're actually like, oh, it's not just me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that for them is a relief more than even let me find a solution. That for them is like, okay, I'm not the only one.
I'm not the only one. About so things, I'm not the only one, you know? I'm fine.
Yeah, and find safe spaces. And I think that's really something, if I have time going forward, I would really love to do, to create safe spaces for people from, you know, a image point of view that struggle with body image, places, platforms they can talk about it, meet people, just like what you just asked, you know, books. People would recommend books. People would make them feel okay. It's not going to be a fat club. It's not going to be a big girl club. It's going to be, I struggle with self-confidence. I struggle with body image. I'm struggling and I have insecurities and I want to know how to better it. So that for me would be an absolute goal.
Yeah, you know, inshallah. You know, we also people. I'm also thinking of doing like a physical meetup, inshallah, and I hope you'll be around and I hope you would attend.
Please, whenever we decide.
Whenever I
inshallah. Now please, we're here for the cause till the end of it, from the beginning to the end.
Inshallah, yeah,
from the beginning to the inshallah.
Thank you so much, Hannah, for being my co-host on this episode. Thank you, it means Fatima. So much to me. Ah, when I can remember you. Walking up to you, I was shaking. But when said yes, I was like, ah, alhamdulillah.
I was so excited. I was really so excited.
I was like, oh my God, I have to have you on this episode. I just knew you were going to do justice to it, and then you did.
Girl, so and I remember you from the first time. I remember the comments that you made. Like, all these things are for the man. Yes. What about us singles?
What about us?
Like, girl, tell them. I was in the middle of, you know, crying and shedding tears and crying. Like, and I heard that comment, I was like, okay, this is a girl that things Kingane. And then when I saw you in the second try, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry if it was a hassle approaching me. I always get that I'm very unapproachable, but I'm the sweetest person if you meet me, I promise.
It's okay.
I promise. Okay. And I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. It's just me. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you, Fatima. Thank you for having me.